the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
As we're at the start of something new, as has already been mentioned, I'm going to split the talk into two. And we're going to spend some time thinking about the idea for the Songs of the Road and why it might be useful to study them. And then with the rest of the time, we're going to look at Psalm 120, which is the first of the 15 Psalms from 120 to 134. As Laura mentioned, from sort of January to March this year, we looked at the New Testament letter of 1 Peter, and we explored the idea that we're strangers or foreigners in this world, that we're journeying towards God, both in the sense of journeying towards heaven, but also in the sense of getting closer to God. We're getting more beautiful, at least on the inside anyway. We're beautiful strangers. And 1 Peter is often described as a guidebook, a kind of helpful guide, a practical guide for the journeying Christian. So I think if 1 Peter is the guidebook, the songs of the ascent would be what we sing together on the journey. And this idea is rooted in the history of Israel. It's rooted in the Jewish nation. These 15 songs were sung as faithful Israelites journeyed perhaps three times a year upwards to God's temple in Jerusalem for the special festivals where they'd gather together the people of God to remember who they were together and to worship who God is. And we also know that Jesus would have taken this journey many times. And in fact, we have an account of a particular time he took this journey when he was a 12-year-old boy up to Jerusalem. And that story is in Luke chapter 2. And these journeys were on foot. They were uphill. They were long, especially from places like Nazareth. And I imagine sometimes they were joyful. They were fun. They were rewarding. They were perhaps sometimes boring. Perhaps sometimes they were seemingly impossible. And these songs of ascent would be sung as the people travelled. And Jesus would have known these songs. And for us, some 2,000 years later, the journey to the temple is a picture, it's a metaphor for our journey of faith. And as Chris mentioned, we're basing this series on a book by Eugene Peterson. And he puts it this way. He says, singing the 15 Psalms is a way to both express the amazing grace and to quiet the anxious fears. There are no better songs for the road, for those who travel the way of faith in Christ. Since many, not all, essential items in Christian discipleship are incorporated in these songs, they provide a way to remember who we are and where we are going. Maybe I can describe it another way. Sometimes I use our family car not long after my husband Gary has returned home from work in it. And occasionally when I do this, a surprising thing happens. I get into the car, I turn the engine on, I put it into reverse, and in our car, when you put it into reverse, it cuts out the radio and the CD. And I look back, and I've done it 100 times before, and I'm thinking where I'm going and what I'm doing, and am I late? And about in the middle picture up there, I've turned round, and I'm about to slip the car into first and drive off. And then within metres, about the third picture on there, suddenly, boom, really loud music comes. I don't know if you've ever had that. And even worse, sometimes it might be a jingle, something like Heart FM. And it gets me every time. I get really startled. And it's especially startling because Gary is normally a Radio 4 or a Radio 5 boy. And it gets me, even though I know what's happened, is this. Gary's been driving home from Bristol. He's been driving down the M5. He's been listening to PM on Radio 4 or Drive Time on Radio 5. And he's starting to get tired. He's starting to flag. He's starting to get weary. And Eddie Mair on Radio 4 is just not cutting it. He needs something to keep him going. He needs something to get the heart going, to get the oxygen around his blood, to keep on coming home. So he presses the seek button on the radio, and he looks for any radio station that's playing loud music. And for him, if it's, say, early Bruce Springsteen or U2, then he thinks, great. For you, it might be something different. For me, it would be something different. But he needs something to get him home safely. And I think that this series is going to be really helpful. Because I think that sometimes words and talking and ideas alone are not enough to keep our faith going. We need to experience together the Holy Inspired rhythm and poetry. Rhythm and poetry that's not random, but passed down through the ages. Holy Spirit inspired rhythm and poetry designed to keep us in step, designed to keep us together, designed to keep us looking towards God, designed to get us home safely. So let's look at Psalm 120. It'd be really helpful if you could have it open in the green Bibles in front of you. It's on page 594. It's only 7 verses. I'm going to read it once, and then I wonder if you would like to read it, and we'll read it together, because the Psalms are songs. We don't have the music anymore, but they're meant to be read out loud. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I live in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Shall we say it together? I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I live in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Shall we just pray? Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit inspired rhythm and poetry of this psalm tonight will speak to us the words that you want us to hear. Open our hearts and minds, our thoughts, our emotions to your word. Amen. So we're going to do 3 things. We're going to look at how it starts. We're going to look briefly about what it's about, and then how it ends. It starts with a call to the Lord. It's thought that this psalm was written by David when he's the anointed king in waiting of Israel, but he's in exile. He's in hiding from the growing paranoia and madness of King Saul. The whole story is told in the second half of 1 Samuel. And David is living in foreign places like Meshech and Kedar, and they were lands to the north and the east of Israel. And he's surrounded by lies, he's surrounded by deceit and conflict and intrigue that would make a great film, but in reality is hideous to live through. And he's fed up and he's distressed. And he calls to God. When we start to call to the Lord, our journey of faith moves forward. Whether it's for the very first time after we've promised to follow Jesus, or for the 100,000th time as we return to him again and again in our thoughts, in our songs, in our prayers. Whether we call on God the Father, Jesus our brother, or God's Spirit in us, we only move safely forward towards home, towards God, when we call on him. It's so simple, but it can be really difficult to do. And as the writer to Hebrews puts it, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, like we've been doing tonight in our sung worship, is the same as calling on the Lord. It's how we turn towards and move forward towards God. It's how we say sorry, how we repent for the things that take us away from God. It's how we get going, especially when the journey has faltered and when it's wearisome. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's where it starts. And that's only verse one. I find it really encouraging that immediately after the psalmist or David calls on the Lord, he launches into what's troubling him. He's straight in there. He's singing what's ailing him. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips. He doesn't sing the detail of the lies or the deceit. I think he kind of knows that God knows. He only asks for God to save him. And I found that when people have lied about me or to me or about those closest to me, I found it really unhelpful to repeat those lies. Yes, helpful to talk them through with someone I trust, but unhelpful to repeat them to myself and to dwell on them. And I think here we see that the way to start dealing with them, particularly I think if you're prone to overthinking, is to say, save me, O Lord, from lying lips. Save me from lying and deceit at the school gate, at college, at the office. Save me from lying lips from a customer, from a boss, from a family member. And maybe that's all you need to remember this evening. That you need to pray and say the words, save me, O Lord, from lying lips. And then the psalmist goes on to gain strength to keep going in verse 3 and 4 by speaking out the truth that God sees those lies and deceitfulness. That one day they will be unravelled. One day they will be judged. God is holy, and holiness wins in the end. The lies and deceit might seem permanent now and unbeatable, but they will be burned up. But I think also each time that I've been reading verses 3 and 4, as I've been thinking about this psalm, we can start to feel a little uncomfortable, because I know I'm not blameless when it comes to how I use my tongue, and I don't think any of us are. Is what we say in anger and carelessness or frustration, what we say in email, what we text, what we put on Facebook, is it always free from deceit and lies or misrepresentations? And the Bible has a lot to say about how we use our tongues, a lot more than in this psalm, a lot more than we can go into tonight. There's warnings in James 3 and warnings in Psalms and Proverbs about the damage the tongue can do. And there are revelations about how our tongues can speak truth and justice and bring healing and instruction, helpful rebuke, how our tongues can sing God's words and praise his name. And this is summed up in, if we look at James 3, verse 9 to 10, we see the two sides. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And as we journey towards God, we need to sing psalms that remind us to use our tongues for the helpful stuff and to say sorry and receive forgiveness for when we mess up. And I know that I fail in this area. I know that sometimes I can give a verbal battering to the people closest to me. If they're being unthinking or thoughtless, I can go too far with my tongue. I can wound. I ignore the impact that my words have. And what's helped me, what is helping me in this, is telling a few friends that I'm prone to it. And sharing that is part of the solution to it. And maybe that's the case for you as well. David is frustrated at living in a foreign land. And we can be too. You know, why can't it be perfect here and now? Why is it sometimes complicated? Why is it so complex? Or you might be saying, why do we make it so complicated and so complex? Because we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. It's a journey we take together in community, warts and all. And that's why this psalm is such a good song to start with. And Peterson puts it in the book. The first of them, the 15 psalms, is the prod that gets us going. It's not a beautiful song. There's nothing hauntingly melancholy or lyrically happy in it. It's harsh, it's discordant, but it gets things started. And the other thing that's interesting about it is there's no resolution at the end. There's no advice on what to do, when to act, when to stay silent, when to fight against injustices. But I think that if we have to deal with lies and deceit and conflict this week, we need to ask, can we say, like in the final verse, I am for peace. I am a woman of peace. I am a man of peace. Conflict is around me, but I am for peace. I am journeying to God. Step by step, I'm turning towards God, away from lies and deceit, those in myself and those in others. Songs don't necessarily end at the bottom of the page. We can go back to the beginning and we can start again, and we often do that in the band. So it might be helpful for you to think, where is the end of this song for you this evening? Is it unresolved? Is it, I am for peace when I speak, but they are for war? Or can we return to verse 1? Can we say, I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me? Or maybe we can't do all of verse 1. Maybe we can say in the moments, maybe when we're at work this week, when it gets difficult, when we have a decision to make, I call on the Lord. before you open that email, before you send that email, before you answer the phone, I call on the Lord. It's the first song of 15, and there's more to come. There's more. There's more on hope and security and service and humility and blessing and joy. It's not the whole journey in this psalm. It's an honest start. It's a start that deals with something I think pretty much all of us can relate to. It's a start that calls on the Lord, but it doesn't have everything signed, sealed, and delivered by verse 7 at the end. And the important thing to ask is, are we on the journey? Are we on the journey to God, the journey home through Jesus, using the songs that God has given us to help us get there safely? In this series, at some part in the service, we're going to have an opportunity for silence to think about what's being said. And I've put some questions up there for you to think about. If there's something particularly that God is saying to you, then don't worry about those questions. But we're going to have a few minutes now to think about, am I journeying towards God, following Jesus? What helps me to keep calling on the Lord? What protects me from lying lips and deceitful tongues? And where does this psalm end for me? Can I go back to the beginning and say, I call on the Lord?